Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop, and I want to remind you that D'Amico Ryan's head coach of the team should be speaking at about 11:15 thereabouts, so we'll catch that here in a little bit. But I want to start this around the NFL by going around the AFC South. Now, it's very easy because two of the teams were playing in the game that we were watching that unfortunately didn't go the way we wanted with the 17-10 victory over the Jags, and the other two teams were playing in another game, one that ended 41-20 in the favor of the Indianapolis Colts, who are now 3-0. The 3-0 Indianapolis Colts. Who would have thought? In the year of our Lord 2025.
I think they scored the most points in the league right now.
So
right?
The Indianapolis Colts have 103 points, which is tied for the second most points scored through the first three games in Colts franchise history. So here are the teams that have scored more, or here's the team rather that scored more. The 1967 Baltimore Colts scored 117 points. Obviously, you have this 2025.
Johnny Unitas or whoever that was.
Yes. I don't even know who they was letting play on the field, if you know what I'm saying.
Tom Maddie.
And then the team that also has 103 through 3 weeks,
Say the man's name.
25, was the 1958 Baltimore Colts.
That is not Peyton Manning.
Yes. So that's exactly. Peyton Manning ain't put up this many points through 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones has.
All right, so I was mentioning this earlier. I want to put it on the air. AFC power rankings. Now, I get that, you know, Buffalo beat Baltimore and all that stuff, but I would put Baltimore 1, Buffalo 2, Chargers 3. Colts are the fourth best team in the AFC.
Ooh, hold that, Chiefs. I think it is worth noting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that you're doing that to troll or anything, because I know some people will think that.
Well, you
that.
Just said the numbers.
Because if you look at the AFC, right, the teams that were supposed to push up and try and contend, the Bengals are 2-1, but they are without Joe Burrow for an extended period of time. And mm-hmm. I think that we can look at that and say, I don't know how much I actually believe in that team. They also have a point differential of -33.
Mm-hmm.
Just telling you things. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? And then, obviously, we know this Houston Texans team is 0-3. They were supposed to be there, not. The Raiders are 1-2. The Broncos are 1-2. I don't know how you feel
Broncos
about that.
Broncos are, so-so, but I don't think.
Maybe.
You know, they're there with based on the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, the Bonix thing looks like it's definitely regressed somewhat. And then Kansas City Chiefs, where.
They have Texanitis.
You saw them last night. Like, that team, there's some issues there. There's the Travis Kelce looking like he is absolutely winding down. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tyquan.
Offense can't do anything.
Shout out to Tyquan Thornton, who I don't know who the hell he thinks he is, but it ain't Tyquan Thornton. Yeah. He is having a little bit of a resurgence, but he ain't Rashee Rice, who is still gone for another 3 weeks. He's not Xavier Worthy. We'll be interested to see when he will be able to return to this team. But yeah, there's clearly issues with this Kansas City Chiefs team. Like, there's really a few teams at the top of the AFC in a way that we did not anticipate.
Yeah.
And the Colts, I think there is a gap between those top three you mentioned.
I would agree with that.
But the Colts do seem like they are the first in line to maybe try and get in the club.
We're going into week four, and they've punted once.
That's crazy.
By the way.
But they did punt once.
That's like D'Amico talking about, well, we had two explosive plays. Two for the year. One of them was on a busted coverage. Well, the Colts have punted once. And by the way, offensive-minded head coach. Just saying. offensive-minded.
So what you trying to say?
What are you doing right now?
I'm just saying.
Say it with your chest, though.
I am saying it with my chest. When you have an offensive-minded head coach, your offense tends to be better. That's not necessarily a reflection on what DeMeco is as a head coach, other than he's a defensive-minded head coach who wants to protect the ball and rely on his defense, and we're seeing the result of that.
When did they hire DeMeco Ryans?
That would have been going into 23 season, huh?
Okay. When they hired Shane Steichen?
Was that going into 23 season? 22.
So anyways, just wanted to make note, Daniel Jones is the first player in the Super Bowl era with three passing touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns, and no giveaways in the first three games of a season.
Yeah. And he is, again, with an offensive-minded head coach.
So
quarterbacks play better. Offenses score more points. You can have a real weapon on that side of the ball. I'm just saying.
Hey, I was about to do something worse than you.
I was going to say,
who's the better quarterback, Daniel Jones or C.J. Stroud?
So the Colts next week are on the road at SoFi Stadium versus the Rams. That's at 3:05 on Sunday. That's a 3.5 game, or 3.5 point. They're 3.5 point dogs against the Rams.
That's a must watch if you're a Texans fan, just to kind of see how they look against the Rams.
That, exactly. You're starting to see what are we compared to before we get to week 13 and you first see against the Colts. By the way, the Titans who were in that game, Brian Callahan, hey, buddy, we're trying to see what you're up to. That is your Texas opponent. Get this, and stick with me. There's a lot of things here. The Titans lined up like they were going to go for it on 4th-and-1. The Colts called a timeout. Then the Titans called a timeout. Then the Titans decided to kick a 57-yard field goal. Then the Titans took a delay of game after those two timeouts. The Titans missed a 62-yard field goal that they took for some reason.
There's the Benny Hill music.
Then the Colts took over at the Titans' 48-yard line. And, man, and there's other instances where the Colts took over at the 24-yard line a couple of plays. The Colts made a field goal to take a 13-point lead in the half, and the Colts got the ball to start the second half. Mm-hmm. That is what the Titans are going with when it comes to game management. So you bet not lose against the Tennessee Titans because that's incompetence.
Yeah, you can't lose that game. By the way, Figgy, couldn't help myself. Daniel Jones versus C.J. Stroud.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Through
three games, Daniel Jones completing 71.6% of his passes, 64.0 for C.J. Stroud. Daniel Jones, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. C.J. Stroud, how about 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions? 816 yards versus 599.
All right. We get it.
Figgy asked.
See, you did this, Figgy. You got to hold that. All right, real quick before we go, I did want to really get some around the NFL. Not one, not two, but three games had huge blocked kicks in the early slate yesterday, making it what I think a lot of people thought was not going to be as fun of a slate. It was fun. Mm-hmm. So one of them was the Eagles blocking a would-be game-winning field goal by the Rams. And then big Jordan Davis gets the block, picks it up, rumbles, bumbles, stumbles for a touchdown. So what was going to be a 30-29 victory for the Rams turns into a 33-26 victory for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild.
That's called the backdoor cover.
That's right. The Browns trying to do a little something to their own there. The Shelby Harris blocked the field goal that was setting up. It was 55-yarder. It set up a 55-yarder for Smith, the dude who was the GOAT for that team. He ended up being the champion, getting the game-winning field goal, which is the longest walk-off field goal in Cleveland Browns history.
Who'd they beat?
The Green Bay Packers.
Can you believe that?
That's weird.
Can you believe that?
It was. In fact, it's on
their
our TV
defense
right now.
Might be legit. They might have a top five
their
defense.
Their defense is always legit. Yeah. They somehow end up being a bad football team.
They just have a rough quarterback, man. Old-ass quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other block kick was the Jets' Will McDonald giving me Troy Polamalu vibes, jumping smooth over the offense, over the line, got a block, scooped it, and scored. But unfortunately for the Jets, they were up against the Bucks and Baker Mayfield, who went down, set up a game-winning field goal, and they still won the football game, the Bucks did. But we almost had three blocks that swung the game and won it for those teams. Two of them were able to do it, but still wild to see.
Throw in punt returns and defensive touchdowns. There were 9 touchdowns yesterday that were either defense or special teams.
Shout out to football.
That's crazy. 9 TDs.
They're like, even when the games aren't inherently good, we find ways to keep you locked.
Yeah.
All right. That's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long, via visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, coming up next, we hear from DeMeco Ryans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 832, John and Reggie, how many times will D'Amico Ryan say we're close during his press conference? This should be on, you should be able to bet on this, they said. You should be able to get the over-under. If you're going to set that line, John Lopez.
Is he going to still go with that? He did it right after the game.
I mean, he mentioned that. I think he says it because he means it. I don't think he's just saying stuff. I don't know that he'll hit it. Like, he'll hit it a whole bunch, though.
I don't know how much he means it.
I'm wondering, is he talking about? Is he talking about close on the offense just close in the games? Because they have been close in games.
I disagree. I think he's just trying to protect things and put the, you know, that little positive spin on things. He can't be. We saw what he did on the sideline with Nick Caley. He wasn't saying, hey, Nick, we're close, right? I mean, he wasn't doing that.
I didn't bring it back to that, which is a good point. Yeah. I said I was going to, and I didn't. Did you when, I mean, if you're watching this broadcast, if you're watching all of it, and I can't blame you if you say that you weren't, at some point, D'Amico Ryans is seen, like, clearly, like, waving his arm vigorously and clearly shouting something at somebody. I don't know that I can make it out. If you were a lip reader, you might have a better chance than I did of making out what he's yelling, like, about. But at the same time, the TV broadcast seemed to make it seem like, because they cut from Caley making a play call to D'Amico seemingly doing that. And we have all just kind of taken that as D'Amico was yelling at Caley. Do you think that he was indeed yelling at Caley in that moment?
He was absolutely saying something to Caley. And my favorite part of it was he said something, started to walk away, turned around, and another thing. He turned around and said something else to him.
Do you think he said?
I don't know, and it would be reckless to just speculate that he was
played a reckless speculation sounder.
But I think it's safe to say this: it wasn't good luck. It wasn't, hey, keep it up, we're close.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. Here's the reckless speculation. Okay. I think a lot of people, and I don't know how reckless this is, but a lot of people were kind of speculating, hey, get up there.
Yes, I'm sure
with the motion, like, get up there, get quicker, because it did feel like they were kind of slacking in their time.
I kind of looked at it as like, come on, man, pick up the pace. We got to pick up this pace, man.
Right.
Let's go.
I agree with you. If I had to speculate, it would be something along those, what you both said there. But that's why I think when he, you know, right after the game, you know, hey, we're close. It's just a few plays and all this other stuff. I think he's just protecting, whether it's himself or a combination of himself and the offensive coaches, and trying to, you know, put a positive spin and all. But he doesn't say that. It would be reckless of him to say that behind the closed door.
I know we're waiting for D'Amico Ryans to talk on this Monday, the day after the game. But when he talked immediately after the game, he was in a protective mode, right? Like the response that he had to a question about how do you evaluate Nick Caley right now is we're all in this together, which in some ways is protective, but also not at all, because it does not speak in the affirmative to Nick Caley, and you see that fire that I think we're interpreting to be at Caley. I understand why people are like, hey, no, clearly that's what it is. You should just say that. I'm trying to be as fair as I can. The question I have is this anything for you? Like, is this just frustration in a moment, or does this mean anything to you above just, if we're saying that this is D'Amico Ryans directing some level of fire towards Caley, or just fire in general, does this mean anything to you for the head coach of the Texans?
I think in this case it does, because the frustration level, the expectation, it's all bubbling over for every coach on that sideline, especially D'Amico Ryans. It's one thing when Travis Kelce and Andy Reid mix it up on Sunday Night Football like they did last night. You know, they've been known to do that. That's how they communicate. You know, they have a really strong, good relationship, and they have a history of Super Bowls and winning a bunch of games. This team is like lost right now offensively. So I think it means more in this case that he was, you know, he's popping off at him a little bit.
I think also for me, I'm still trying to figure out if it's something, but I will say that I did find it interesting that D'Amico Ryans, who we know, and the criticism has been like, how much are you involved on the offense? And it's hard for us to get any level of sight on that. We're not there at practices and getting to see what the interaction is. We're definitely not there in meeting rooms or anything like that. This is some level of, okay, we know for certain, assuming that we are correct, that he is speaking to Kaylee in that moment and saying what I think somebody else is imagining they said, which is get your bleep together, right? Some level of insight as to, hey, whatever you're doing, like this is how I want you to do it. This is how I need you to get yourself in line as a correcting from a head coach to his subordinate in this place, the offensive coordinator. Because Nick Kaylee, there's clearly some issues with the way that he's been handling this.
Well, this offense is not creative. It's very predictable. It's far too disjointed in terms of, you know, the operation, as D'Amico likes to say. It's a mess. I mean, this offense might be, you know, you can say you're close all you want, and the scoreboard might say it occasionally or a lot as well. But you're not close. This offense is not close to being a successful offense. Everything, and we've mentioned it today, everything that was an issue for 2 weeks that they were going to work on is still an issue.
And it's the little ones. Like that. I'm sure that for D'Amico, the frustration, if we're interpreting this correctly, makes sense because we are frustrated at it. Like the bigger, more difficult things, I get why you might be like, all right, this is tough. You're going to take time to get there. Operationally, getting up to the line, getting yourself through these things, not having the operational issues that clearly this Texas team had again yesterday, I that would lead me to maybe raise my voice a time or two.
And what are the signs? The sideline. Like seriously, like this is a serious question. What is one sign on the offensive side of the ball that you think, all right, maybe they're starting to get better?
Woody Marks had Dario Gumbawale did not have any offensive snaps. Damian Pierce was not even active for this game, right? Like, I think
second straight game.
I think that you can look at those and go, all right, at least they are acknowledging some of the things that we are seeing from the outside. Because there were times, I mean, you could look at all last year when we were trying to, we're like, yo, we're seeing something. Why? What are they doing? Because they continue to operate opposite, right? Damian Pierce getting a whole bunch of runs. Kenyon Green remaining out there on the field. Where we're like, no, we see something. And yeah, we may not be the football people that you are in that building, but we're not stupid. It does feel like at least they're acknowledging some of those things, but I have to be.
But that's not a sign on the field.
That's very small.
Yeah. That's not a sign.
I was going to say, my positive sign is probably just Jalen Noel, maybe. That's individual type deal. Like, I kind of feel a little positive about him, but that ain't helping the offense.
Yeah. No, like what you're saying is accurate. At least they're acknowledging, I'm sorry, Damian Pierce. I'm sorry, you know, Blake Fisher, all this. That doesn't really tell you that, you know, that this team is getting better, you know, on the field.
Well, let's see if this will tell us if the team is getting better. The head coach of the Texans, D'Amico Ryans, at the podium.
D'Amico, is rotating at guard something you guys will continue to do? And why was that something you felt like you needed to do?
Yeah, we did. We rotated the guards in the game on Sunday because we felt like that's what we wanted to do, to give Juice a chance to get in there. And Juice did a really nice job with some of the reps that he was given.
D'Amico, when you say you're close, are you close to turning those close games into wins? Or are you close to where you want?
Yeah, what I mean by close, I said we were close in our three games, right? We were there in the fourth quarter, right? We were close to finishing and closing those games out. But there are plays in each game that we've had these first three games that we didn't finish and win the game. So I'm not talking about close as a team, talking about winning the football game. That's what we're here to do. We're here to win football games. We've been in position to win those games, and we have not won the game. So we got to find a way to win the game, right? We got to make the plays in the fourth quarter of the games we've been in. We got to make those plays to put us in position and to just ultimately to win the football game. That's what we're here to do, right? That's what we work tirelessly and hard for, is to win football games. So the games have been close. We've been right there in the games, right? It's, so we just got to find a way to get it done.
We talk about most games, and I think we even talked about it with you last week. Most games in the NFL are close, and it comes down to a couple of plays. So is being close encouraging, or is that just kind of a league-wide thing?
No, it's not encouraging to be close. We want to win games. It's not about being close. That's just stating the facts or stating the obvious of how the three games have played out, how those games have happened for us. But we're not here to just be close. We're here to win the football game.
That being said, you talk about how close you all are, how you all have been in those games, and even if you would have won those games, do you feel like that still the win would have masked some of the issues that you all may have as far as, you know, looking at the totality of the team?
Oh, we go back. No matter win or loss, we go back and we dissect the film, right, to see issues. Whether you win or you lose, to me, you attack the film the same way every single time. And you attack it to see, first and foremost, how can we be better, right? No matter what the outcome or the result of the game is, how do you get better? That's what it's about. You know, long season, it's about how do you grow, how do you get better each and every week. And so that's what we'll do every time.
Domingo, could you delineate on the fact, just moving in the same vein, close making the proper decision or move, shifting the line, or either getting a chip from a tight end, depending on where the pressure might be coming, particularly at a critical point, to probably looking at your route tree and then looking at your spacing on some of your receivers? Because I think, at least from my perspective, I think your receivers got the spacing on that interception because it was so close within that. Is that an issue that can be addressed and you have to just deal with moving forward?
Yeah, as we go through the film, we talk about the route distribution, right, the protection. All of those things are things that, you know, we bring up and we look at to see how can we better deploy guys to make sure we're giving ourselves the best chance to have successful plays. So some of that comes with protection, where we have a problem guy, we may need to, you know, put some chips on the edge and make sure we're helping out when we have a issue player like Josh Allen. Hines did a really good job on yesterday. We got to find a way to protect better. When it comes to route distribution, there are some plays it was good, some plays we can do better of distributing the guys, some plays we can do better of running the routes the proper way. So it's all of us. It's all inclusive, coaches, players, everybody, just fine-tuning things to make sure we are giving ourselves the best chance.
How do you overall feel about the communication on the back end? I feel like there's times where there's a little bit of miscommunication that can lead to a bigger play in the secondary. How do you just feel overall about the communication that's been going on in the secondary?
Yeah, when you see a big play that happens on our defense, somewhere along the lines, there's a bust in communication. It all starts with communication, and granted, it hasn't been as crisp as it needs to be. So we have to play better. On the defensive side, we got to communicate better, and we got to execute the defense better. It's not been great. We see that. We have to make some adjustments there to make sure we get it corrected.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That isn't the answer, but why do you feel like the defense hasn't been able to close out games? I understand the offense put a little bit of a strain, but why do you feel like the defense hasn't been able to close out games compared to what we saw in the past?
For us defensively, when I look at this past game, thought we had multiple opportunities to take the ball away
We had one hit us right in the hands. We didn't take it away. We had one in Tampa Bay hit us in the hands. We didn't take it away. We had a couple where we were supposed to be a deep safety. They throw the ball up, and we're not taking the football away. So there are multiple things where we've had opportunities, right, defensively, and we haven't capitalized on those opportunities by being exactly where we're supposed to be, communicating the proper way, tackling the proper way as a unit. The tackling hasn't been up to our standard, and so we have to get that fixed.
Do you feel confident that last year we kind of had similar struggles, or you guys had similar struggles on offense? Do you feel confident now dealing with it that you're in better position to oversee it than you were last year?
For me, right now with our team, like when you go through different – each team, like no matter what year it is, like each team has its own – it's faced with its own adversity and different issues that arise. So for me as the head coach, it's a matter of, hey, different set of problems, different set of challenges, and I'm up for it. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, that's how we'll attack it. We'll get it all corrected, and we'll get this thing going in the right direction.
Is it still different, though?
I don't compare year to year for me. I say this is a different year. 2023, completely different team. 2024, completely different team. We're here. We have different issues here in 2025, but we attack it the right way. We attack it with the right attitude, and we're going to get the thing rolling in the right direction.
What do you do to change? I mean, you know, you've identified the challenges early on, and if you have the same challenges, what do you do to try to chip away at those?
Yeah, you just go through it. You make the necessary adjustments you need to make, right? Whether it's schematically, whether it's personnel, you just make the adjustments that you need to make schematically and see how it improves from week to week. So we'll take a look at where we've been over these first 3 weeks, just take a deep dive and look into it and see, like, how can we, first and foremost, as coaches, it always starts with the coaches, like, how can we put guys in better position? Like, how can we help the players to be in position to get on the winning side of things? So it all starts there with how we plan, how we prep, and how we structure practices throughout this week. And then we cut the players loose and let them go play and let the players go execute and do what they need to do.
What is some of the messaging to, to the team overall, but to some of these young players who haven't been through this type of adversity? Like, you got some players in that locker room that didn't lose three games throughout their whole college career, three games in a row throughout their whole college career. So how do you keep, you know, those younger players motivated to, you know, as the saying goes in the NFL, one game at a time?
Yeah, for sure. You keep guys motivated by understanding storms are going to hit you in life. Like, whether it's, yeah, we do football, but also in real life, like, storms will arise, storms will come in your life. And so, like, when you go through the storm, are you coming out stronger or are you getting ripped apart by the storm, right? And so there are different people who can handle those at the adversity and the storm that comes. It's like, how do you handle it? You got to remain resilient. You got to remain strong through it. And it really tests your character to see who are you truly as a player, as a man. Like, how are you? Who are you? And we'll see that. Like, we'll see how we handle this as individuals. We'll see how we handle this as a team.
The last team to go to start the season 0-3 and still make the playoffs was the 2018 Houston Texans. And, you know, in the midst of that, they had that 9-game winning streak. Is that something that you could see this team doing as far as getting it back on track and ending up like they did?
I did not know that. So thanks for the history there. But anything can happen. Anything can happen. It all starts with us, first and foremost, just playing cleaner, right, and protecting the football. Like, I know we're in position there again, like, to turn the ball over three times, to only take it one time. I don't care who you're playing or when you're playing. It's going to be hard to win that game. We can try to point fingers here, there, this and that. We have to protect the football no matter what it looks like. If we want to see ourselves, you know, start down that track, we got to just make sure we're protecting the football, taking it away when we have our opportunities, and just playing cleaner, finishing the proper way.
Talked about the defense before. The general sense is if we take care of our business, we don't care as much about how the offense that we're playing that week operates. Offensively with your team, has
some of the mistakes they've made allow the opposing defense to sort of dictate how things go? And is it just simply cleaning up their own mistakes so that your offense can dictate how?
Yeah, for sure. It's never about the opponent to me, especially when you have the penalties that we have on first down that puts us behind the sticks. Right, that has nothing to do with the opponent dictating anything. It's things that we control, and if we handle that the right way, if we make sure we got a proper hat on the hat in the run game, we make sure we're executing the passing game, going through our progressions the right way, hitting the receiver, like those are all things we control, not necessarily a defense is dictating to us anything. We just got to control what we control and press forward.
A moment in the fourth quarter where the cameras caught you frustrated and you kind of urging the offense along. Were you hoping for more urgency from the offense at that moment, or what was frustrating?
Who says moment? I was urging the offense?
Well, it just looked like you were doing this and
what does that mean? Just because I'm doing this, that does.
and there are some people who saw the words coming out of your mouth, but I'd have wanted to ask you and not assume.
Yeah. No, if you guys saw me animated on the field, that was directed. I think during that snap, we got on the ball, we went tempo, and the refs held our offense from continuing to run their play, and the ref said that we were substituting, which we were not substituting. No one on our sideline got off the sideline or moved, and so they didn't allow us to run our tempo offense. They held the huddle. So that's who I was talking to, the official, right, and making sure that we were able to run our offense the proper way.
So you weren't yelling. We don't think you were, but so just to clarify, you weren't yelling at Nikhil, correct?
I just said I was talking to the official. All right. No, I was not yelling at anybody on our sideline, any coaches, any players. I'm too cool for that.
D'Amico, quick on the wrap up. Is this something that I know all of y'all send different things into the league office about certain plays? Is this something that you would know going up to the league office about that particular issue? They, you know, holding you back and that y'all not substituting? Because is that just part of the overall thing that y'all send up?
Every week, if we have any issues, anything that arise from that standpoint of how the game was managed, we'll go through it with the league office and make sure we talk about that. And really, it's also about talking to the officials for the next game of, you know, things we want to do offensively. If we wanted to do that, just having awareness. Yeah, Stingley is still, we're evaluating his oblique. He hurt his oblique in the game, early in the game yesterday, tried to push through it. He couldn't push through it. So we're still evaluating him, probably be day-to-day with where he is.
Coach, I know that you all can control what you control as far as coaches is concerned, as far as players and play on the field. But, you know, from the fan standpoint, they're looking at it and they're saying, you know, this team is 0-3. And, you know, for a lot of them, they don't feel like there is no coming back from that. What is, you know, something that you can say to the fans to, you know, encourage them to, you know, just say, hold on, don't, you know, jump ship yet?
Yeah, that's why we play the games, right? We're 0-3. We don't want to be 0-3, but that's the matter of the fact. That's where we are now, right? We have to go out. We have to play better. So for our fans, just continue to support us. If you want to, yeah, I know how everybody gets riled, everybody gets upset. You know, you should win every game. I get it. We're trying to win every game. We're working hard. We're doing our best. We just got to go play better to make sure we give our fans something to be proud of. Thank you, guys.
There's D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans. So there you go, especially when it comes to the TV broadcast and him yelling. He cleared that up. And I wouldn't want to say, I 100% believe him that he was like yelling at the refs, like trying to get that tempo, trying to make sure that stopped from going up tempo when they didn't make any substitutions. Which honestly, if you look at the way that this team has played either this week or really thus far in the season, the few times where they've looked good is like 2-minute offense and when they've gone tempo. So I can understand a visceral frustration if you're like, yo, we're trying to get there and we're being stopped not by ourselves but by the refs holding us up.
I don't know. I don't know if I certainly don't 100% believe him. I'm not saying he's necessarily not telling the truth. I'd like to see the all 11, see where the referee was standing, because he was turned directly to the sideline. Now, there is a line judge there, so it could have been the referee. Could have been Nick Cayley.
TV broadcast ain't helping seem like that.
Right.
They showed Cayley. They showed D'Amico Ryans.
He wasn't directed toward the field. Now, I know there's oftentimes an official standing right there, so it could have been an official. Could have been Cayley. I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, I believe him 100%. I mean, they're
I kind of believe him.
I kind of do.
All right, if you had to put a percentage on it, since you're not going with 100, and I understand why you would.
You understand what I'm saying.
No, I do.
Like, he turned, like, directly to the side.
Sure,
there
but we don't know.
There could have been a referee between him and Nick Cayley, but I know Nick Cayley was there.
Immediately to his side.
His left.
I'm actually not sure exactly how close they are.
No, I know that because they showed it on the television, just the television view, that he was turning there and then Nick Cayley and then back to
D'Amico. But those cuts are different shots.
I mean, unless they're conspiring to create a controversy.
I see you, CBS. I see you trying to pull us apart.
You know, that would be you know, really bad for CBS to have Nick Cayley standing on his right and they're making it seem like it was on left.
I think they just made a cut, and we kind of took that jump. Yeah. And also, I think, really, when he goes, I'm too cool to do that, and I understand that's made some people mad here on the text line. Can't blame you for that. But I do think that it does fit his MO to not be somebody who is a hollerer at his guys, mm-hmm. to be fair.
Yeah, and I feel like something bad would have had to happen on offense for him to really be screaming.
Well, something
bad
was happening. Something bad was happening a lot.
There is a lot more to discuss when it comes to what D'Amico Ryans just said in that presser. We'll try and do some of that as we continue on. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Maybe some of that, maybe some of the weekend that was with the Astros and more. We'll do that next. All right. One of the things that's popping is that I am doing my best to be an intrepid reporter. Not really, but we just heard from D'Amico Ryans, the Houston Texans head coach, in his presser. And one of the things, amongst many things that he discussed, was that fiery image that we caught of him on the CBS broadcast. And a lot of people immediately interpreted as him yelling at Nick Cayley. We have tried to mock up what the scene looks like. I got red string all over the walls here.
The little
in the studio. Yeah, man. We got a clipboard.
Reginald Torre.
Yeah, we right here.
Like that Always Sunny meme that has a...
So this is early in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The Texans obviously have the football. They're in plus territory. And the play before this is broadcast, I have looked at the All-22, and there is a ref standing over the football, mm-hmm. and holding up play. That would stop substitution. Between that play, at least on the clock, and the next play, that's when we get the CBS broadcast where D'Amico Ryans is standing on the sideline to his left on the sideline. Maybe I'm assuming it's probably like what, 6 to 7 paces?
Yeah.
Six, seven to 10 paces, let's say. Mm-hmm. To his left is Nick Cayley, and immediately in front of Nick Cayley, maybe a step between mm-hmm. them, is the line judge. So in that general direction was a line judge that he could have been yelling at. This is, if I'm doing the Mythbusters, this is 100% plausible that this, what he is saying is correct, because all those things do line up.
It's plausible. I like when you said I 100% believe him.
Right.
He knew this question was coming. 100%. He knew this question was coming. And look, D'Amico is always going to protect the brand and his coaches and his guys, right? And in the moment, I don't blame him for what he did, if he did. In fact, sort of pop off at Nick Cayley. We all saw what the offense was doing. We all saw the disjointed nature of the offense. But I fully expect D'Amico to protect that, you know, in aftermath as
no,
well.
Yeah. No, but I mean, even as he says it, I'm like, you know what? That does, I do believe that D'Amico would hold his cool more amongst his guys, mm-hmm. right? I mean, even as he's talked about Nick Cayley, he has been more protective of Nick Cayley as a first-time play caller. Mm-hmm. And maybe not even specifically because of that, but he has been more protective. I think that he probably is more capable of holding that frustration toward his players than he is towards the refs, where he feels like, hey, man, we have our own things. We can't necessarily go against you now also holding up the few opportunities that we have to be better. So I'm inclined to believe him here. I know that you might not be necessarily the same degree, and that's your prerogative. I think that's absolutely...
It's your opinion, bro.
That is your opinion, bro.
Well, and really, that's your opinion as well. You know, I mean, because we don't know. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
honestly, when you see coaches yelling at a ref, they usually be right in the ref's grill, mm-hmm. or you can kind of see the ref right there. But this one was D'Amico kind of walking away and just kind of yelling back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I never thought he was yelling at a ref until he just said it.
Yeah.
Do you at all fall in with this texter who said, I don't care who he's yelling at, I'm just glad he was yelling at somebody? Is that really cathartic to you? Like, I'm not saying that in judgment. I'm genuinely asking because I'm not a person who's built that way. Mm-hmm. Is that cathartic to fans just seeing like, hey, you mad at something and that makes me feel
better?
Well,
you want to see the passion and the emotion. Yeah. You know, like we, you know, fans do not want to stand for this. And they kind of want to see their coaches not standing for it either.
Yeah, when your team is looking bad, you don't want to see your coach sitting there smiling.
Right.
And, you know, they want to see a coach throw something. That's where anything. We've seen that about Joe Espada.
Yeah.
Like, hey, throw a cooler or something. You just standing there.
I'll put it this way. I think people would be better off, would be happier if he was yelling at Nick Caley than saying we're close. You know, let's put those two things side by side.
And
how do you feel about, hey, we're close versus I'm yelling at my offensive coordinator because it looks like bleep? I would lean toward the latter.
Yeah, you know? Because the you're close thing make it
that doesn't
seem,
resonate.
It make it seem like D'Amico's in a sunken place.
Yeah.
Well, like D'Amico, he's part of the problem too.
Yeah. He did nice get out reference. D'Amico did mention that when he was asked specifically, he said that the rear close alluding to the fact that they were close in the fourth quarter and that they didn't finish plays that were available there to him.
All right. What do you say? I'm just telling you the facts.
Hey, that kind of answered my question because I was wondering, was he talking about we're close as far as how we want the offense to be or just close in the game?
And he specifically said not close as a team, but the games were close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the only thing is, yeah, you're right. He did start talking about like, well, I was just stating facts. And like, no, you were using that supposed fact to kind of defend against some of the criticism, which I understand why you would, but we can't characterize it quite as that. We'll see if we can return to some of the things D'Amico Ryan said in his presser. You mentioned Joe Espada. I imagine some people might have found some catharsis if he had started getting up, yelling, kicking some dirt around, because the Astros fell pretty flat against the Seattle Mariners team that just looks better than them. A three-game sweep, and the pitching on the mound for the Mariners was all fantastic compared to the pitching on the mound for the Astros, which did not stand up. The bats were swinging really well. Cal Raleigh with 57.
58 now?
58. I felt very sick because I looked at it and I was like, damn, I did wish for that, didn't I? I'm sorry. My bad, y'all. That's on me. I'll raise my hand. Was this the most problematic portion of it, seeing Jeremy Peña be ruled out for the Sunday night, try and get a little bit of something out of this game? Due to, what was that? Was that, am I mixing up things?
I think
did he also have an oblique?
Yeah, he was
like,
oblique too. Yeah.
For a moment, I had to stop because I was like, wait, they said Sting got an oblique that he's dealing with. Is he also doing, yep.
Yeah, he is.
Just obliques going around in Houston. Check your obliques because it's going around this time of year in the great city of Houston. No, he had an oblique. Mm-hmm. They said it was out of an abundance of caution, but it is an injury thing with the Houston Astros.
An abundance of caution, but also scratched late.
Yes.
Which is never a good sign, which means he tried to do something and either couldn't or aggravated it or whatever. That really wasn't, you know, the most alarming thing for me. The most
it hurt my feelings quite a bit.
It did, but the most alarming thing to me was just going down so meekly. I mean, they didn't even put up a fight, man. Like, this was the biggest series of the year, and they were never up, never in, to use a golf analogy.
The Framberg start really got me.
Mm-hmm.
After I seen that, I'm like, oh nah, it might be over with.
Yeah. Yeah, and now you have to start looking at the schedule, and now you have to start relying on others, and that's a problem. The Mariners are facing the Rockies at home.
I've heard they're all right.
Well, you've heard wrong.
Oh, okay.
You've heard wrong.
My bad.
The Mariners are all right?
It is 2016, right, or something like that?
Yeah, and then they have the Dodgers, which, okay, you know, Dodgers. Guardians are facing a really struggling Tigers team.
They
might win the division.
Yeah, the Cleveland Guardians. Actually, let me just set this up. You mentioned the Tigers and Guardians are going to face off here. The Guardians are one game behind the Detroit Tigers there in the AL Central. The Guardians have won 9 out of their last 10, which they lost their last game.
Mm-hmm.
They had won the 9 prior. I think more, actually, in fact, leading up to that. The Tigers have won 1 out of their last 10. Like, you literally have the diametric opposites meeting up in this game, and the Cleveland Guardians are now one of the teams, or I guess the Detroit Tigers, depending on how that series goes, that the Astros have to be vying against, because it feels like let's be honest, the wild card is out of your picture at this point.
You have to rely on us.
As the Mariners have effectively, I believe they actually have clinched postseason play. The Yankees have clinched postseason play, as the Blue Jays have clinched that division. That means there is one wild card spot available, and the Astros are now fighting for it as they're 3 games behind the Mariners for the AL West lead.
And the Guardians were out of it this month.
They were 15 and a half games out, I want to say, at the end of July.
Yeah, they were, like, this month they seem to be out of it, and they make that run. And then, after they face the Tigers, presumably, maybe even for that division, they face the Rangers, who now all of a sudden are five games back and pretty much out of it.
So when it comes to the Astros, they're done playing at home for the year, 46-35 at home. Get this, though, per Brian McTaggart, Astros had a negative 28 run differential at Daikin Park. Just the offense really problematic. And, of course, that's how they go down. They go down in a way swinging without really getting any runs at all on a weekend series where they absolutely needed them. They now head on the road for the final parts of their season, and they have to try and see if they can continue their season for an opportunity to play back in front of this Houston crowd. Because if they don't, the season will be over. Framber Valdez off to somewhere else, I imagine. Your opponents starting tomorrow, a three-game set against the Athletics, which I would like to be like, oh, well, this is an opportunity, but you got swept by the A's last time you saw them. And then the Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim is how you finish the season in Anaheim.
I mean, what do they have to go just to have a chance relying on others?
I think 4-2.
4-2, 5-1?
I think 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you want to lose, though, for you to have a chance? Because you kind of got to have some people to lose.
I guess the Guardians. Right?
I guess because but you don't have the tiebreaker against them.
Well, but you don't have the tiebreaker against the Mariners.
You don't have the tiebreaker against anybody. So, yeah I say 4-2. You might need to go ahead and make sure you win 5 of these. If we're going to be entirely honest. Christian Javier is the man who will be on the bump tomorrow.
And then back-to-back TBD is pitching.
Yeah. this is real dicey. I know that there's people that were like, man, these Astros not making the playoffs. Well, look at what we're looking at right now. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. By the way, if you want to talk about any Houston teams winning, shout out to the Houston Dynamo getting a victory of the weekend, as they also try and contend for playoff positioning. So there was some victories that happened in the city of Houston. All right, coming up next, let's come back to the Texans. I want to react to a couple of things that D'Amico said, but I also just kind of want to look at this team in general. What's the best case scenario from here on in the season if you start 0-3? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.